Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, without cessation, continue to chant the holy name. Lord Krishna whenever possible, serving them as devotees to Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this, Sataraj said, how can I recognize a Vaishnava, please? Let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. For a part, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says that the person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. Krishneti yasya giritam manas adriyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness, but an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of God and transcendence himself. As the Padma Purana says, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a chintamani gem, a touchstone. That name of Krishna is personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental, internally liberated from material contamination. Thus, one should understand that the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure unalloyed devotee. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee and thus gradually become purified. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee. And even though he may be in the neophyte stage, by his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. One is known as a materialistic devotee if he simply worships the deity of Hari with faith that does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atrayam eva harahe puja yat sada yate natad bhakte shuchanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smita. Yet even by association with such a neophyte devotee, one may become a devotee also. When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatana Goswami, he said, Shradavan jar jana hoi bhakta rikar uttama bhajaman kanishta shrada anasari jaha komala shrada se kanishta jana krame krame prema bhakta hoi vat uttama rati prema taratame bhakta taratama. A person who has attained firm faith as a real candidate for advancing Krishna consciousness, guided by the faith, there are first class, second class, neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called a Kanishta Adhikari or neophyte. The neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulated principles set down by the spiritual master. Therefore, it is on the basis of faith and attachment to Krishna that one can judge who is a Madhyamakari or Uttamakari. It is thus concluded that even a neophyte devotee is superior to Karmis and Jnanis because he is full faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord. A Karmi or Jnani, regardless of his greatness, has no faith in Lord Vishnu's holy name or his devotional service. One may be advanced religiously, but if he is not trained in devotional service, he is very little forever on the transcendental path. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship is in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master, is in a position superior to that of the fruitful grand speculative philosophers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. So this is Lord Chaitanya's reply to Sataraja's common question, who is a Vaishnava? How can I recognize a Vaishnava? So the answer is one who chants once is a Vaishnava. This, of course, is a little bit of a controversial statement, because if you only chant once, then everyone will just chant once and forget it, and then we'll say we're Vaishnavas of the highest category, so that's it. That is actually not the meaning, but this shows one stage of advancement, first stage. So one who chants the name of the Lord once. That, of course, has a little bit of a qualification also. So actually it means chant with faith, not like Ajami or whatever, who was chanting by accident. So we don't really call him a Vaishnava. So one who chants with faith once, he has, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he understands that Krishna and his name are non-different. So a person who chants purely once, then he is called a pure Vaishnava. But we know that if he chants more than that, then he's superior. So that, of course, is explained later. So this was an initial question, and the answer is given, chant once, and then you're the best Vaishnava. Later on, the people of Navadvip, they heard this and they thought about it. Next year they asked the same question, they got a different answer. But then the next year after that they asked the same question, they got another answer. So in this sense we have three different Vaishnavas defined. We also have three different Vaishnavas defined in the after devotion, under Vaidhi Bhakti. Three Adhikaris are there, the Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttama. It's a little different because that definition is in terms of Vaidhi Bhakti, not in terms of chanting the name. This is a definition in terms of chanting. But we can see there's some sort of correlation. So in that definition we have one is Kanishtha, who hasn't got knowledge of scripture and has very weak faith. And one is a Madhyama, he has slightly more knowledge and he doesn't become disturbed in his faith if people give counter arguments. And one is an Uttama, if he has very deep faith and very profound knowledge of scriptures, so that he can reply and defeat others when they give arguments, and he can convince them. So he is called the Uttama. That's in terms of knowledge of scripture and Vaidhi Bhakti. Then there's another category of Kanishtha Madhyama Uttama Prabhupada quotes here, and that is given in the Bhagavatam 11th canto. So we have the Kanishtha, who is the worships the deity because he believes in the Lord, but he is not much attracted to devotee association. Obviously he doesn't have that much knowledge, so he's got some faith, but not much knowledge. And then we have the Madhyama, who associates with other devotees and therefore gets knowledge. He accepts the deity in the temple also. He avoids the demons, those who are unfavorable, and doesn't preach to them. And he preaches to those who are innocent, unfavorable. So that's the Madhyama. So this is a person who has association devotees and therefore has proper knowledge. Therefore he's qualified for good advancement, whereas a Kanishtha, because he doesn't associate with devotees, has got rather slow advancement. And then we have the Uttama, who is described as seeing Krishna everywhere, seeing the Lord everywhere. So this describes a person who is on the level of prema, and whenever he looks at anything in the material world, immediately he relates it to the Supreme Lord. So there we have three categories again. So in this category here, this classification, this is in terms of chanting the name, whereas the other ones are bhakti in general. The definition given in the Nectar Devotion is actually Vaidhi Bhakti, particularly Sadhana Bhakti, within Sadhana Bhakti, whereas the definition given in the Bhagavatam covers even up to Prema. The Uttama there is in Prema Bhakti,
the uttama in the nectar devotion is in sadhana bhakti, mighty sadhana bhakti. So he's at the first stage only. So that definition is more limited. In any case, these are describing people who are qualified for devotion of the Lord, real devotion of the Lord. So therefore they are called pure devotees. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, yes, so one who chants the name of the Lord once with faith, he's a pure devotee. So therefore the word pure devotee also has a very wide application, because he is doing pure bhakti. And this, of course, is the definition given in Nectar Devotion. What is Uttama Bhakti? It consists of sadhana, bhava, and prema. So those who are doing sadhana are also called pure devotees if they practice pure bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. So, therefore, here it's mentioned that one who chants once the holy name of the Lord purely, then he's a pure devotee. So we should understand by that a pure devotee has a wide area or a wide coverage of meanings, from one doing sadhana to one doing prema. It doesn't just mean one prema bhakti. So in this particular verse, Lord Chaitanya says one who chants once ekbar Krishna's name, he is worshipable, he is the best of all human beings. So definitely, one who chants the name of the Lord is better than the others. Even Ajamil is great because he chanted accidentally. And one who chants with faith, of course, is even greater. And if he chants with faith, which is pure, he has good knowledge and he understands the nature of the Lord, he has no offenses in his chanting, etc. That is very, very good, even if he chants once the name of the Lord at that point. In other words, a person who practices pure bhakti, in sadhana bhakti, he is considered to be the best. And by doing so, then eventually he'll attain prema. Of course, if we don't do bhakti at all, we don't get prema. If we do mixed bhakti, again, we don't get prema. So if we do pure bhakti, starting in sadhana, then we get prema. So bhakti, of course, has many engagements. One can do deity worship and any of the 64 angas, and that can be called pure bhakti. But of course, Lord Chaitanya is concentrating here on the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting the name. So therefore, he mentions the name, and particularly as Krishna's name. This is Yuga Dharma, but plus the name of Krishna. So if one chooses Krishna, that is also very special. Of course, we know that Narayana also removes all your papa, etc. And that is so with the name of Krishna. But because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, there is also special Shakti attached to that. So if we have the name Krishna and the person chants once, that is very special. It is greater than the person who chants the name Narayana once. So if we have a person who accidentally chants Krishna's name and whatever, then he's even greater than Ajamil. But if he chants with faith and purely, then in a very, very high position. So, chanting once is good, of course, but we should understand if the person has faith, knowledge, etc., then he will not just chant once, he will chant more than that. So better than the one who chants once is the one who chants constantly. Of course, one who chants twice is better than one who chants once, etc. But one who chants constantly is even better. So that is the next answer that Lord Chaitanya gives. The person who chants constantly the holy name of the Lord purely, he is the Vaishnava. So this is not an absolute statement, it's a relative statement, but definitely it puts the person who chants once purely in a superior position to all the other persons doing all the other processes. Therefore it naturally follows that if he's going to chant once, then he will chant more than once. because you could only do the one chanting purely if, with faith, if you got association with devotees. So therefore we assume that you would go on and progress in chanting the holy name as sadhana and do that constantly. Okay? Of course, to do constantly means he would have to develop some taste and strong faith in order to do that constantly. We see that a person like Haridas Thakur, he chanted continuously day and night, which most people could not do. How could he do it? Not simply because he was determined, but because he had great taste. He had great realization of taste. So due to that, spontaneously we would be chanting all the time. So of course in sadhana, we chant because there's a rule, you should chant so many rounds a day. But then it's not continuously all the time. Of course, one may take a vow, oh, I'll chant 64 rounds, or chant 180 rounds, or whatever. One can also make a vow like that. That's not also spontaneous. It's a vow, like a sadhana. But, of course, it's good if one can maintain that vow, and through that develop a great attraction to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, one who can chant continuously, purely with taste, is in a very, very high position. The inhabitants of Navadvipa came a third year and they asked the same question, who is a Vaishnava? And then Lord Chaitanya said, he is a Vaishnava whom seeing makes one chant the name of the Lord. The implication there is that one who's on a very high level can instill a taste for the name in other persons. If he makes another person chant, obviously it's not by force that we just torture him so he'll chant the name. he's inspired to chant the name. In other words, he gets faith and, of course, knowledge, and he becomes inspired to chant the holy name. And he eventually develops taste. So therefore, this person is considered to be the Vaishnava. So we have the three categories here. The person who chants once, the person who's got more taste and chants constantly, and the person who is able to influence others to chant the holy name because of his pure chanting. So this will, we can say, follow in some sort of sequence. We begin chanting and then we chant with taste constantly, and then we can inspire others to take up the chanting of the holy name. So the third category, of course, will follow upon that inspiration, giving inspiration to others, will depend upon one's own taste. And so once one has established one's own taste, then one can instill that in other persons. So in this way, we see advancement related to the chanting of the holy name. So we can recognize the Vaishnavas by this. One who chants a little bit, one who chants constantly, and one who is able to inspire others to chant constantly. This is a measure of one's what progress and as a Vaishnava. This, of course, how do we make this correspond to the other categories? For instance, in the nectar devotion. Nectar devotion is a little bit different because that one is describing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti particularly. This could be anything. It could be Vaidhi or it could be Raghunu or whatever. It doesn't really apply. And that's particularly to do with knowledge of scripture. Having little knowledge, just a little more knowledge, and profound knowledge of scripture, and consequently the faith increasing. This is a little different because it doesn't mention the knowledge of scripture. That, of course, is implicit because one has to have faith based upon some knowledge. But if it's pure, it must have knowledge also. But it's not so much the depth of knowledge, but the taste that develops for chanting. So it's not quite, we cannot really have these corresponding together. And the definition given in the Bhagavatam, one who's a Kanishta because he doesn't associate one, that's more or less, we can see, The first two categories, the first two stages are based upon association and non-association with devotees. So the first person's bhakti is not so good because he doesn't associate with devotees. The second one, he recognizes devotees and therefore he advances. And the third person has attained the stage of bhava or prema, where he sees Krishna everywhere. So that again does not necessarily correspond to this category here, which could be categorized within, let's say, from faith through nishtha through ruchi, for instance, whereas the categories in the Bhagavatam go up to prema with the uttama, bhava and prema. So they don't quite correspond, but nevertheless we have three stages in development according to different standards. Because Lord Chaitanya is spreading the Yuga Dharma of the name, therefore here he replies about the Vaishnava, qualities of the Vaishnava, characteristics of the Vaishnava, in terms of the name, chanting a little, chanting more, and chanting with great taste or whatever, and therefore able to influence others. And as well, it is significant that, whereas in the Bhagavatam definition, that the Uttama Adhikari is one who sees the Lord everywhere, here the Uttama Adhikari is one who preaches everywhere and makes other ones inspired. So the emphasis is upon preaching. So this is another aspect of the name of the Lord. The name is a Yuga Dharma, and therefore it is useful in preaching. It is, of course, a sadhana for the individual, but because it is Yuga Dharma, it is useful in spreading to others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the two principles of Lord Chaitanya's movement were Name Ruchi and... So develop a taste for the name and give mercy to the jivas, jive doya. So we develop our sadhana into from sadhana to bhava prema and our taste, etc. And at the same time, jive doya, we give out the mercy to other people. So this is what the Yuga Dharma is. We develop ourselves through this, and we also spread it to other persons. So kirtan is a process of chanting the name loudly so that other persons can hear. So people who are demons can hear. That's it. Persons who are favorable, they can hear, and we can attract them, and we can give them knowledge. And then they can develop in this process of chanting once faithfully and constantly, etc. So that is what Lord Chaitanya is meant by this, these teachings. Let's see, Krishna Seva, why should I say that? Not necessarily. In most cases, of course, if we're going to serve Krishna, then it may be deity worship, but there's other ways one could serve Krishna, let's say by meditation on the form of Krishna, Sasa Seva, whatever. Even chanting his name is Krishna Seva.
Because they will be referred in something like Nam Sankirtan.
Yeah.
Before
that,
they will mention Krishna.
Yeah. So in that sense, there's other ways. Probably we could say mainly deity worship, but it could be other ways. For instance, in Raghunuga Bhakti, they simply meditate on the Supreme Lord, serve Him, Manasapuja, whatever. So it could be either way, deity, direct deity worship or serving the Lord in the mind.
When it comes to Maharaj Vaishnava Seva, does it mean physically serving the Vaishnava?
Many ways of serving the Vaishnavas, following the order of the Vaishnava, plus doing manual service or physical service or whatever, either way.
You mentioned that one day, you're
like
yogi, in the same yogi, you can become a devotee. Even though you're such a yogi, one can become a devotee also.
Yeah, so at least it becomes a devotee. If he doesn't get associated with a neophyte, doesn't get associated with anybody, then he's not a devotee. So if he associates with a neophyte, yes, then he becomes a neophyte.
Why somebody says that no one doesn't a devotee?
Well, they're all pure. The neophyte's also a pure devotee if he's chanting pure bhakti. So, now, of course, if one gets uttamadhikari, fine. But if one is going to get someone in prem bhakti, one may have to wait for a few lifetimes, because it's very rare. So in that case, I'm going to wait for 5 lifetimes. You don't know. You have to take what's available.
Not that we just something possibly like I also
No, one has to go through the process. It's only sadhana bhakti. One would think that one would be in the uttam category by nishtha, because one has profound knowledge of scriptures and convince others, so one on nishtha would be like that.
Is it possible that one in a higher level society would devotee in a lower level would be greater? For example, devotee in Madhyamagita, if he associates with the neophyte devotee, is the possibility of Madhyamagita getting degraded to neophyte devotee?
Being?
Degraded.
Well, the devotee has to understand the method of association. So yes, the Madhyam could come down to the level of the neophyte, but the very definition of the Madhyam is also that he associates in certain ways with different types of devotees. So he associates with the neophyte by preaching. So by doing that, he cannot fall to a lower position. If he acts in a friendly manner, and does everything that the neophyte does, then he may fall down to that level. But he's not to act like that. He acts with other madhyamas in a friendly way. And therefore they maintain that standard. And he serves those who are in a higher stage. So, if he acts properly as a madhyama, then he won't. Even the neophyte engaged in deity worship compared to regularly set forth by spiritual masters, no position superior to that of the fruit of worker. Oh, so with the neophyte was defined as one who worships the deity in the temple but doesn't recognize the devotees. But to order to worship the deity, then he has to take diksha. Technically, if he's going to worship in the temple. If he simply visits the temple, that's another thing. So technically, if he's going to worship the deity in the temple with diksha itself, personally do the archana, then one would assume he's not actually a kanishtha, because he would get diksha and he would associate with devotees and guru would get knowledge, so he wouldn't assume that. But if he only goes to the, has faith in the deity and worships the deity in the temple by offering and going to the temple and giving some fruits every day or whatever, that type of person would be a kanishtha. He wouldn't have initiation. What's that? You can? Yeah, so in other words, the conduct of a Vaishnava to associate with Vaishnavas, and if he doesn't, then what is it? He's either kanishtha, who doesn't associate and he can't advance, or he'll associate with materialists and fall from this position. Well, as I said in Bhagavad Gita, they talk about Krishna Katha with each other. They exchange their realizations and views and associate in a friendly way.
So,
said that Kirtaniya Sadhari. What does it mean for Sadhana? Kirtaniya Sadhari. What is it? Constantly.
Well, that is according to capacity, obviously. And one cannot be have that stage immediately. But that is perfection, which means simply, in other words, what is prema? Prema is constant thought of the Supreme Lord. Complete attachment to the Supreme Lord, therefore was constantly absorbed in the Lord, so the same was constantly chanting the name of the Lord. But that will not be achieved unless we get bhava and prema, ultimately.
That's the Rishi. You are really not a Brahmini Rishi. Vyasa is that, Chandra is like one Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
How we can be a Vyasa? He can be a Vyasa.
He's
like Satyaras Manasya.
Well, he's putting himself in a humble position. I'm a materialistic grihastha, he's saying. I'm not a very good grihastha. I'm a materialistic grihastha engaged in, attracted to material things. So how can I advance? And so he's putting the grihastha in a low position. That's all he's doing.
It means
that
people never
seen grihastha. It's not really explained. There are four types of grihasthas according to the Bhagavatam and the Smriti Shastras. One who, takes the grains that fall in the marketplace and survives on that, or one who goes to the field and takes the remaining grains after they've harvested. Huh? So in other words, he doesn't beg. He simply takes what is there left in the marketplace, on the floor, or in the fields after they've harvested, and that he survives all year on that. Huh? And then there's others who may work or whatever, but there's four categories like that of grihasthas, but that is, of course, probably not followed in the, even in for the last few thousand years. I don't know when it was ever followed. Very strict. And of course also we'll see this is probably just a Brahmin grihastha. No, the only one liberated one is the Uttama in the Bhagavatam definition of sees Krishna everywhere. The definition is sadhana bhakti for the definition given in the Nectar Devotion, so he's not liberated. And this definition here is a little bit not quite specific. So it could be before the liberation stage also.
Maharaj, what is the position of devatas according to this? Whether they are liberated souls or
demigods? No. They are jivas in the material world assigned by the Lord for a particular role.
But they have been devotees of the Lord. On what basis they are chosen?
Because they have a greater devotion, but they're not completely pure. So therefore they're still in the material world. In other words, they're not nityasiddha at this point or whatever.
Mahavira says it.
Yeah. This is the instruction that he's giving to Satyaraj Khan. How to advance as a householder. So therefore he says, constantly chant the name and do Krishna Seva and Vaishnava Seva. So obviously, of course, and in one sense Krishna Seva, we can say, includes all types of service, even chanting itself, but we could take this more as either manasaka or physical worship of the Lord, which we cannot do all the time, obviously. So as much as possible. And Vaishnava Seva is again as much as possible. We're not always with Vaishnavas. So. But one can always chant the name.
One who has taste that he should taste in others, one who has taste for chanting the Guru names in God, and he should taste in others.
Yeah. So they have more potency. In other words, If we have a little realization, that much realization, we can impart to others. We can't impart more than that. Someone in prema can instill prema in others. One who's not got prema cannot instill prema in others. And so according to one's level, one can instill that type of faith, and bhakti.
Sometimes when you go to the beach, when a stranger just been seeing a devotee, he just says Hare Krishna. The devotee should not feel that he's the third highest in class of Vaishnava. Because just by seeing a Vaishnava, he's
Krishna. Of course, if that person actually becomes a devotee and becomes inspired, then he may have some particular potency to do that.
I mean, we just read the Prabhupada.
What's that?
So we are in the Prabhupada's movement.
Whatever it is, the sadhaka has, like, how is it we can understand this duty and cause the mercy of the spiritual master?
What's that?
Whatever the is, the sadhaka has, like,
well, it's not only dependent on the guru, it's also dependent on one's own following. Like, in other words, if you commit aparadha, then nothing happens and you can destroy the bhakti also, even if you have a guru. So it depends on our own sadhana.
Maharaj, in the present day, when talking about Kirtan and sadhana, even for devotees in ISKCON, who are supposed to be having a favor of Lakshman for doing devotional service, are not able to continuously chant. How it is possible for others to do?
Well, as I said, it's gradual. In the beginning, one chants once, he says here, one is a Vaishnava, and then better is chanting constantly. And of course, that has limits also. Even if you say, well, Haridas Thakur didn't chant constantly because he chanted maybe 20 hours a day. So he says 4 hours he didn't chant because he slept. So we can always make some fault like that also. So constantly also is a relative term.
In the devotees in this one are always engaged in some service or other. And during this time, they're mentally occupied in the service, performing the service. So how is it possible for them to be constantly chanting?
So they don't, because probably anyway they're engaged in these services because they won't chant anyway all the time. They'll fall asleep. So better they do some service. Some people can, but most people can't. So they're not qualified for that type of chanting. Like Haridas Thakur. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote that poem. It says it's Nirjana Bhajana is an imitation, because most people are not at that level. They don't have such attraction to go off and chant all day long. It's imitation only, and they'd be trying to do it and mean that their minds are thinking something else.
Also, like, if Krishna doesn't mean that only we take Bhutan Shastar and sing globally, any service he does, sing of Krishna, that's also Krishna and chanting.
Well, in one sense, but here, of course, he's talking about chanting the holy name, and like we have Haridas Thakur, who was acharya of the name, and he was chanting constantly. So, that doesn't mean that other processes are not bona fide or anything; they're also there. But this is particularly in terms of name, chanting the name. Well, that's a general thing. It doesn't mention particularly Krishna's name. It could be Vishnu's name or anything there. Okay? But he's glorifying the Lord somehow or other. It could be not even Nam Kirtan. It could be Leela Kirtan, or it could be Guna Kirtan, or anything. Kirtan means glorification in general. But the idea is that that verse is describing the characters of the devotee. So sada, constantly chanting, means he's always engaged somehow in glorifying the Lord, talking about the Lord, preaching about the Lord, or somehow serving the Lord, and getting some taste from that. Compared to the Gyani and the Karmi, who do not do that, and rather they engage in other activities.
So in the third verse of Sishvashika, when Mahaprabhu says Ketan Yasadari, that refers to
Ketan. Well, that's concerning chanting the holy name there, that when he says that, because it's all the verses are about chanting the name.
Who all chanting? Why did Mahaprabhu decided to mark that word in Sishvashika?
Yeah. Not going to make care of one inside all the associates and things. How do you keep them?
Because demons should not have access to the preaching. But then after 1 year, then he felt, well, we also have to deliver the demons. So therefore he told them all to go out and deliver the demons also. So he said, Hari Das and Nityananda, and they delivered Jagat and Madai. No, but they're not qualified. Don't preach to the faithless person.
But why is it affected in our preaching that to instruct the faithless person to the
rules
of the Lord?
What's that?
To instruct the faithless person to the rules of the
Lord.
Yeah.
So how
would
it have affected us?
Hmm? Mahaprabhu could do it, but the remains also.
How would it have affected
us? For us?
If we do that, to instruct the faithless person to the rules of the Lord.
Yeah.
To instruct the people who are not having faith in God.
Yeah.
You were telling that after 1 year, Sayyidina started living for them.
Why is it an offense? Oh, because if you instruct, you give instructions to faithless persons, then they'll simply pretend, and meanwhile they'll commit offenses. So therefore, they do aparad. So we don't want people doing aparads. Or in the case of Jagat Mata, they attacked. And they committed aparads against Nityananda Hari Das. So that we don't want also, because that's not beneficial for them.
And then having kirtan, loud kirtan and kirtan land going,
that's okay. You're not instructing. You're not instructing, so that's okay. They can hear the name, but you should not give instructions.
Oh, sure.